to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB. This week, the GGB Podcast sits down with Joe Asher, the president of sports betting for IGT, on how he transitioned from leading William Hill US to joining IGT and advising gaming operations on how to best implement sports betting on their properties. This week's program is brought to you by Konami Gaming. Later in the show, we're talking about a Konami creation that keeps reaching more and more properties year after year, so stay tuned. Joe Asher keeps changing jobs but always ends up on top. After bringing his Brandywine sports betting company to Nevada, it was soon bought by William Hill, which in turn was bought by Caesars early last year. After a summer at the track, Asher accepted the position of president of sports betting for technology provider IGT. He explains the path to IGT and why it makes perfect sense for him now. He also gives us his views on the upcoming Super Bowl and how this year may be different with so many sports betting jurisdictions up and running for the first time. And finally, he focuses on his first love, horse racing, and explains where he thinks the industry is going. He spoke with me at the IGT offices in Las Vegas last week. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Joe Asher, the president of sports betting for IGT. Joe, it's great to see you again. It's been quite some time.
Great to see you. Great to see you, Roger. First time I've seen you in this office.
Yeah, absolutely. First time we've talked with your new title here. We've been through the William Hill thing, even before that with Brandywine Gaming. So it's really nice to be able to get together with you and follow you through this really incredible career you've had so far. So let's talk about the Super Bowl. It's the biggest betting event of the year coming up in a few days. So give us your experience down the year, and how do you think this year is going to be different in any way?
Well, look, it's a good matchup. It's a good matchup. Sure. Maybe lacking some of the marquee names that might have been a little more appealing, perhaps, to customers. But I think, it's a great matchup. Early on, at least, looks like the public's going to be laying the points on the Rams and betting the Bengals on the money line.
Right.
And so the sports books will be hoping it's Rams by 1, 2, or 3, I'd guess. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly make the case for either team. The playoffs this year in the NFL have been
unbelievable. They were incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great.
I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're not seeing the Buccaneers and the Chiefs in again. I mean, there's the marquee names you were discussing, but I like to see these new players get in there, especially Stafford, who's never been in a Super Bowl in all his great career as well.
Well, it's funny. I was when I was driving over here, I was listening to the radio, and someone made the point that given all that he went through in Detroit,
right,
it probably really prepared him well. For this, and and Burrow's just been an unbelievable phenomenon.
Sure.
And what he's done in the playoffs is incredible.
Let's talk about the different kind of bets. Obviously, people bet who's going to win the game, but there's so many different prop bets and things like that in the playoffs. So give us some of the bets that you have seen people make in the past.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, it starts with the coin flip, right. and then goes right to MVP of the game,
right.
and everything in between. Prop bets are really, really popular in the Super Bowl. They're offered throughout the year, but the one day when they're a significant portion of the betting activity is on the Super Bowl. And it spans everything from alternate point spreads to, passes, passing yards, rushing, right, rushing yards, receptions. You have the cross sports parlays as well.
Right.
Number of rushing yards for somebody versus points that LeBron's going to score,
right,
kind of thing.
Exactly right.
So it crosses sports as well. And it really just it people like it for the entertainment and to have an interest throughout the game, regardless of they'll still bet whether it's laying the points or taking the points or the money line, but then all these little prop bets throughout the game I think make it particularly interesting for people.
Sure.
Let's talk about parlays. I mean, parlays is what you sportsbook operators like, right? You make some of your good money there, but they're also really fun. I know that first weekend of the playoffs, I bet four things, and I won three of them, and I thought I was going to win the fourth one, and it came down to the wire. But they're exciting.
Yeah, look, it's a way for customers to bet a little and win a lot.
Right,
right. That's really it. You know, they've always been popular. I think, you know, all the more so now with different types of parlays and parlaying individual player performance mm-hmm. to the outcome of the game. You have the parlay cards, the traditional Nevada style parlay cards. You have obviously parlays and parlay card type offerings on mobile as well, mm-hmm. but it really does go to that sort of core jackpot type of a thing where you better win, you know, bet a little and win a lot.
Right, right, yeah, and you know, the odds aren't always in your favor, but then, as you said, you can win a lot, and it's almost like winning a jackpot on a slot machine.
Yeah, no, look, obviously in most forms of gambling, the odds are not in your favor,
right?
In sports betting. You know, the theoretical margin is lower than perhaps in some other forms of gambling, but it's about it's much in sports betting. I think it's almost as much the satisfaction of being right.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's sort of a corollary, right. You know, to the money. Right. It's a way to back your conviction. Mm-hmm. And to talk about it with your friends and so forth and then if it plays out, then obviously, you know, you win money. And, you know, think of it like, you know, if you can, and it just kind of makes it more interesting to watch the game. You know, you go to a movie, you're out the $15, whether you like the movie or not, it's gonna, you know, you'll be there for a couple hours. You can bet the game and, you know, you might lose the same amount of money, but you also might win, mm-hmm. and it gives you that, you know, that interest, that rooting interest, and reason to stay engaged throughout the game.
Right, exactly. So you mentioned the MVP. I think, you know, last year in the Super Bowl, if you bet Burrows or Mahomes, not Burrows, but Brady or Mahomes, I think you probably had a good chance of winning one of those bets. But this year, it's maybe a little different with Stafford and Burrows. They're both in their first Super Bowls, and they have some great players around them as well. Do you think there's more of a chance that somebody other than the quarterback might win the MVP this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, it always sets up for the quarterback to be MVP because he's going to touch the ball more than any other, you know, player on his team. But, you know, you certainly the wide receivers are in contention this year. You know, you've got obviously Kupp and OBJ on the one side, Chase on the other. Mixon, if he has a big running game, you know, you could certainly see Aaron Donald on you know, the Rams defense if they're really turn out to be dominant in the game. By definition, almost sets up naturally for one of the quarterbacks, and you know, you could, you know, obviously if Cincinnati, you know, comes through and Burrow has a big game, then you know, pretty easy to see him being the MVP.
But you get a real great odds for the defensive player, if Donald or Von Miller. I understand it has some really good odds as well, but you know, that's a long shot, pretty much, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Just because, you know, it's. How many interceptions are you really going to get, or how many sacks, and is the defense really going to dominate the game when you know, both of these teams can put up points?
Yeah, no question. So we have a lot of new markets this year in the betting community right now for the first time. New York, Louisiana just came on the other day. Do you think there's going to be different betting patterns in those markets because it's the first time they're actually able to make legal sports bets?
You know, maybe not necessarily in this year's Super Bowl because you don't have Ohio online and you don't have California where you'd have a really heavy regional bias.
Sure.
So, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be, you know, that different. Although, you know, and traditionally, yes, there is the regional bias, you know, in you know, we see it in Rhode Island when the Patriots were running good. You know, people are betting the Patriots. You know, but I also, you know, my experience in Delaware was, you know, when the Eagles were running good, everybody was betting the Eagles. Right. When they were running bad, everybody was betting against them.
Right.
You know, so the bias isn't necessarily always in favor of the local team.
Sure. But so you think in some of these new states, they're just going to bet who's going to win the game and maybe a few props?
No, I think that's what you're going to see, you know, more generally. You know, they'll bet, you know, either on the money line, who's going to win the game, or
right.
the point spread,
mm-hmm.
and then a number of props to go
right.
with it.
Right, no question. So with the NFL season over after the Super Bowl, you know, of course, the next thing you look through is to the March Madness. You know, it's how big is that going to be this year? Now that you know, again, there's sports betting all over the country.
Yeah, look, I think March Madness is always a
right.
A big event, you know, and it really was almost like the first indication that, you know, of COVID when you go back
right.
to you know,
right.
it being
yeah.
canceled
yeah.
in 2020.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, it'll probably, you know, it'll be a lot of interest in March Madness this year as, you know, we're kind of coming to the end of
sure.
COVID restrictions and things of that nature. And of course, you have all these new states with sports betting. So March
yep.
Madness would be a big, you know, big event. And sports just seems to be a bigger and bigger part of the mainstream news these days as well. And I think that, you know, helps helps drive the interest in sports betting.
Sure, sure. And also, you know, football is always the top sport. And now we've got a couple of other leagues starting up. We've got the USFL starting up in the spring. There's this indoor football league that's really ramping up now as well. Do you think these, because there's so much more legal sports betting, do you think they have a better chance of success?
It's a good question, Roger. The answer is I don't know. Because up till now, you know, none of these alternative leagues have made it.
Right.
It's you know, we have our football season, you know, season ends, mm-hmm. and people kind of take a little bit of a break,
right?
Sort of mentally and from watching, and then, you know, they tune into March Madness,
right?
And so, you know, it's I think just unclear whether there is a market in the country for year-round professional football.
Sure.
There was a little bit of interest in the AAF.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to an arena game. It's kind of like a fun thing to do,
right.
but it's just not that. It's not even anywhere close to being on par
right.
with
sure.
you know
sure.
watching the NFL.
Right, and it seems like, you know, even though the USL, they're bringing the team names back and then the logos, but they're playing it in one place, right? I mean, that's got to, you know, make those cities not that much interested in it if they're not going to actually be in town. You know?
Well, and again, it comes down to the players,
right?
Right.
Of course,
I mean,
right.
you know,
right.
there's, you know, in the NFL, in particular, I think, you know, there's always a storyline. Now we're coming to an interesting point in the NFL where some of these top quarterbacks, you
right.
know, who we've seen for the last 15, 20 years are retiring. Roethlisberger,
right.
now, of course, Brady. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. And you know, you have these personalities that
right.
are almost, you know, that are really independent or derivative of the game, I
sure.
guess. And you're not going to have that in these alternative leagues, right? I mean, and I just, so over the Christmas break, I took one of my daughters to see the movie about Kurt Warner and, you know, tracing his play in the Arena League. But that's, you know, that's pretty, you know, rarity. And
sure.
even when he was in the Arena League, it wasn't that big of a deal, right? It was
yeah.
when, you know, he got the shot with the
right.
Rams,
yep.
you know, because Vermeil believed in him.
Yeah, yeah, no question. So let's talk about you know, your new job. You know, you took William Hill, you know, through the process of the sale to Caesars, and you know, it was you know, they got a really good deal, I think, because you know, you laid the groundwork for them. So what really drew you to IGT to become president of the sports betting operations here?
Well, after you know, the Caesars deal closed, you know, I left right when the day the deal closed.
Right.
You know, packed up the office and you know, and moved out, and you know, was just sort of, had no idea what I was going to do,
mm-hmm.
other than being dead set on taking the summer off,
right.
and going to Del Mar, and it was great,
right.
man. What's not to like? You know,
sure.
you spend the summer at Del Mar, you don't have any work to
yep.
do, you know, no emails to
yep.
answer, no
great
phones. It was great, it was great, and. You know, I'd been friendly with Enrico, a fellow named Enrico Drago,
mm-hmm.
who's now my boss. I'd been friendly with Enrico because William Hill and IGT had partnered to win the sports betting contract in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And then we worked together, and I'd always liked and gotten along with Enrico. And, you know, we talked not long after I left William Hill, and it was more of kind of a, you know, goodbye, maybe there's something we can do, you know, down the line. And then he called me over the summer. And, you know, my attitude over the summer was listen to everything, commit to nothing.
Right.
And you know, the idea is maybe to come in and do some consulting. And I said, you know, would love to get a chance to work with you, Enrico, really mean that. But, you know, let's talk about it when the kids are back in school.
Right.
And we might have had one more conversation over the summer when Italy won the Euros, I think it was, because he's, you know, Italian.
Right.
Anyway, first day of school, Roger, you know, kids go off to school. It's quiet in the house. I take the dogs for a walk. You know, it's still really hot in Vegas. My older dog, he like pooped out after a half hour. He didn't want to do anything anymore. And, you know, it's 9 o'clock. What am I going to do?
Right.
And Enrico called me that day.
Yeah.
So he had, you know, remembered that that was the first day of school.
Right.
And anyway, it started, you know, the idea started as doing some consulting around the sports betting mm-hmm. business, and then it eventually morphed into a full-time job and started October 1st.
Okay. So, you know, IGT has a great reputation in this area, the Play Sports program. What kind of sets it apart from some of the other competitors?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, so to set the foundation for it, it's, you know, the hardware and software you need to operate a sports book, right? The, you know, things like the betting engine, the PAM, you know, the guts of running a sports betting system. And, you know, you have two choices, right? If you're a big enough operator, you can own your own technology, but that comes with great cost. Or, you know, if you're not or you don't want to own your own technology because of the cost, you can use third-party technology. And IGT is just an obvious place for a lot of people to look mm-hmm. because they're already using IGT products today.
Right.
And so the customer base is a mix of, you know, some pure online sports betting companies, mm-hmm. perhaps, you know, like FanDuel,
it's
a big customer of ours, and I mentioned the Rhode Island Lottery mm-hmm. earlier, PointsBet, you know, pure online operator, and then, you know, you have the retail casino operators mm-hmm. like Boyd or Resorts World here in Las Vegas, Boyd in Nevada, and then all these tribes across the country. You know, I was in Green Bay a couple weeks ago with the Oneida tribe, mm-hmm. and they're obviously familiar with IGT. But they got the right to offer sports betting now mm-hmm. under their compact, and chose to partner with us. So the technology is very modular, so mm-hmm. it facilitates integrations quite easily. And, you know, once you learn how to use it, it's, you know, fairly straightforward.
And it plugs into the other systems that IGT has for the slots and things as well.
You know, to the IGT Advantage system is, in fact, one of the things that we're, mm-hmm. That we're working on, as well as, you know, maybe some other third-party mm-hmm. integrations. You know, a big focus around payments, too, to facilitate people. Mm-hmm. Being able to fund online accounts, which mm-hmm. is such a big deal. And then, of course, you know, IGT is a manufacturer. So, I mean, the kiosks are, you know, kind of a really big deal. I mean, much more so, frankly, outside Nevada than in Nevada. You know, historically, like in the William Hill days, we might have one kiosk or two kiosks. Mm-hmm. Really big place, we might have three, you know, because players are almost conditioned to going up to the window.
Right.
In, you know, there's probably, you know, I don't know, a dozen or so kiosks at that, you know, Oneida Casino in Green Bay. And some, you know, will have 25 kiosks mm-hmm. in them. They're very popular with customers, much like, you know, people, you know, use the ATMs these days, even when they go to the actual bank.
Right. Yeah, I was up in Washington State this weekend and went into a small Indian casino and, to watch one of the playoff games, and they didn't even have a sports book. I had no kiosk or anything. So, but I guess one of the smaller ones. So I guess, but you've got a couple.
Well, you'll give me the lead after we're done. Yeah. You know, we got a couple of great partners up there.
Right.
You know, Snoqualmie.
Yeah.
You know, pretty big place.
Sure,
obviously,
yeah.
They got
I think I drove by
decent
that one.
Size. Yeah. No, that's a really good play. Angel of the Winds, another really good partner, and there's others. You know, Washington State is obviously a big tribal market.
Beautiful casinos, but. I wasn't really paying attention to what they were offering there, and I was looking for the online sports betting, and they don't have that. Is that in their compact, or are they just going to do retail for the while?
No, I think for now it's retail and mobile on premise, and you know it's all a function of what ultimately you know the legislature and the governor and the tribes want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you know, and in Wisconsin, similar type of thing. You got to go to the reservation, and you can bet mobile, but only on the reservation, and you know, frankly, that's the way that you know that tribe wants it.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Konami's award-winning Synchros is the casino management system of choice for some of the industry's most innovative operators. Many have chosen Synchros in recent years. Operators like Red River Casinos in Pennsylvania and New York, Desert Diamond Casinos in Arizona, Golden Entertainment with 10 casinos across the U.S., Carnival Corporation and Norwegian Cruise Lines, Las Vegas' newest strip mega resort, Resorts World Las Vegas, and it was selected by the nation's largest casino on the West Coast with over 6,500 slot machines and an amazing new resort hotel. To start speaking with the Konami team about Synchros and why so many casinos are choosing it, visit KonamiGaming.com/connect.
The sports betting market is still growing. You know, we just saw Louisiana come on. They're going to have mobile in Mississippi soon. I was talking to somebody yesterday.
Maybe
about,
I don't know. They don't. You know, I mean, I testified in Mississippi back in my William Hill days on mobile, but I don't know where they are on the legislation.
I was talking to somebody about Texas the other day, and I was it's not going to happen. But then I realized that you've got Jerry Jones and Mark Cuban and Tillman Fertitta as casino owners, and I'm sure they have a lot of influence as well. So maybe Texas will come on. So how much more is it going to grow before it kind of stabilizes, do you think?
Oh, well, look, my prediction is sports betting will be legal in all 50 states.
Yeah.
Okay, all 50. You know, people say, oh, it'll never happen in Utah or something. All 50 states. Now, I'm not going to give you a date, so you can't say I was wrong. But, you know, it's the public is clearly likes to bet on sports.
Sure.
The leagues have embraced it firmly. And so I think that, you know, kind of continues. There's so many, aspects to it,
but the
advertising has made the knowledge of its availability quite apparent to so many. Now that also has problem gambling implications as well that folks have to understand and appreciate. It's people like to watch sports. And they like to bet on sports.
Right.
And, they're having record ratings for the NFL playoffs. Now, yes, the games have been great, so people stay engaged.
Right.
But they're tuning in to begin with. Is some aspect of that because they can now bet on it? Sure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not everybody who watches a game is betting on it.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much if you bet on the game, you're going to watch it.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely, and watch it all the way through for the most part. You know,
long as you can, right?
Yeah.
Unless
I had an over under a couple of weeks ago before the great playoffs, and I was just watching to see if I was going to win the under, and I did. So,
well, congratulations! I got to follow your bets, but here's the other piece to it as well is now that with streaming, my son he's in a fantasy or a flag football league. And, they practice from 3 to 4 on Sunday and their game's 4 to 5.
Right.
So right during the NFL playoffs,
terrible, crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I got, YouTube TV.
Yeah, right.
So I can watch it on my phone while I'm going to his game.
Yeah.
And so you can now bring the game with you.
Right.
You don't have to be either in a sports book or at home or in the bar.
Sure.
The portability increases the viewership,
mm-hmm.
And then if you're in a state with, you know, with statewide mobile, then you can bet as well.
Sure, sure. So we've been, obviously tracking the market share of the operators, and you know, most of them are in single digits. And there's got to be some consolidation at some point. When is that going to really start?
Well, you know, look, it started a little bit last year,
right,
with Penn buying the Score, right, and DraftKings and Golden Nugget Online.
Right.
You know, clearly, I think, you know, consolidation continues. You know, also, look, there's not, you know, there's going to be a handful of major operators,
right,
who have the ability to compete. There will be niche opportunities for others, in particular regions, particular markets. And then, you know, some of them, you know, yeah, will throw in the towel or be acquired, mm-hmm, for less than they've invested. I think,
right,
that's inevitable.
Sure, sure. No question. So what do you think is going to be the big accelerator of revenue growth in sports betting, you know, in terms of technology? I know I was speaking with, I won't mention his name, but he was head of one of the big sports companies early on, and he said, you know, once in-play betting gets going along here, he said that's really going to be the driver of this, because you have so much critical mass at that point. Is that really taking over yet, or is that really not even scratched the surface?
Oh no, in plays, you know, has been an important part of the business, a, mm-hmm, growing part of the business for in the U.S. you know, for over the last 5 to 7 years easily.
Right.
I mean, I saw it at William Hill. You know, our in play business just continued to grow, and now you're seeing, you know, that growth continue. So clearly, in play continues. And what people principally are betting in play, by the way, is they're still betting on the outcome of the game.
Right,
right. It's not,
right,
sort of
is the next one going to be a pass or a run? You don't even get to that level yet.
I mean, that's very granular.
Right.
Frankly, it's disruptive to the viewing experience. Mm-hmm. There's some of that,
yeah,
for sure. You're seeing some of that now. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, the outcome of the game or a defined subset, mm-hmm, of the game,
right,
that people will bet on in play. I think video streaming with integrated into the sports betting app,
mm-hmm,
is clearly one area where the business is going to go. So, you know, you're watching, you know, go back to my example, you know, I'm watching the game on my phone, and, you know, the betting options will be overlaid on the video.
Right.
I think, you know, you sort of see that. Personalization,
mm-hmm,
is another area where I think you know, we're not anywhere close to,
sure,
you know, where it ought,
mm-hmm,
to be. You know, my app should know that, you know, I like to bet the under on the Golden Knights game. And
right,
so if I log in a half hour before puck drop,
mm-hmm,
right, the first betting option I,
right,
see,
yep,
you know, should be that.
Mm-hmm.
So all to make it more efficient.
Sure. So another thing that IGT does is link up the sports betting options with the slot machines. Now you can see the odds on, you know, on the little window at the bottom. How much is that growing for your company right now?
Well, so there's two products. One is what we call the Crystal Flex betting terminal,
mm-hmm,
which is sort of a more of a akin to a sit down slot machine,
right,
type thing, you know, that's deployed in a at least one place that I'm thinking of right now, as sort of a, you know, a trial, but we're expecting a more widespread distribution of that over the coming months.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I'm most, you know, really passionate about is sort of a bar top machine.
Sure.
I think there's big opportunity, and I've been talking about this, you know, when a couple of years ago, I remember Enrico and Renato Ascoli showed me you know, sort of the Crystal Flex, and
right,
my reaction is, that's great, but show, you know, I'd love to see it in a bar top,
right?
Right, where, you know, you're standing at the bar or sitting at the bar, and you got the traditional, you know, video poker, you know, some of the old Game King type,
right,
content, and you can also bet on sports there because it's on the TV,
mm-hmm,
in front of you. I mean, there was talk of having the video on the monitor itself, but I actually don't necessarily think you want to do that because,
right,
it might be a little bit of a different speed of the feed than what you're seeing on the TV,
right,
in the bar.
Yeah.
But I think that's a big opportunity.
Sure.
So, you know, that's going to be something that we're working hard to get,
mm-hmm,
done so that it's available to customers this year. And I think there's a big opportunity around that because that social engagement.
That's funny. That's just exactly what I was doing at this Washington casino on Sunday. I was playing video poker and watching the game at the same time. So,
right. And so if you want to have your in-play bet, you know,
right.
you can push the tab
yeah.
and pull up the betting offerings instead right. of having to get up and go to a separate kiosk.
Exactly. So IGT just made a deal with the Arizona Coyotes. Some people were bringing up the fact that the owner of the Coyotes is also a casino owner, which, you know, is there any conflict of interest there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Alex Morello has obviously been
sure.
Very successful. What he's done with the Grand Sierra has been, you know, really impressive. I mean, I don't know if
right.
last time you've been up there, but it's,
yeah,
and I was there before
property.
He bought it
yeah.
and what he's turned it into.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know if you got down to the, you know, he's got the Sahara here mm-hmm. in Las Vegas and done just a tremendous job with
sure.
that. You know, they just opened a new Chickie and Pete's there
mm-hmm.
As well. You know, the Coyotes, you know, you could have a whole separate, you know, podcast around,
right. yes.
you know, around the Coyotes
exactly,
and, you know, but over, I don't, you know, over time, I kind of seen the movie before, saw what he did
right.
up in Reno. He's going to be successful
yeah.
with it,
yeah.
right? He'll get his new arena and,
sure.
you know, and
right.
they'll get that team in a good place. And, you know, earlier I was talking about niche opportunities. And you know, he's decided he's going to run it himself
mm-hmm.
rather than partner with somebody else. But he's going at it from the approach of, you know, I'm going to keep my costs low.
Right.
My marketing is going to be very targeted, you know, my database and whatnot. And, you know, I think I can, you know, make more money doing that
mm-hmm.
than selling a skin and getting a revenue share from somebody else. And, you know, on the, you know, it's the same betting offerings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously he's worked out whatever he needs to work out with, you know, the NHL
sure.
Around that. But, you know, they're I always thought it was kind of silly when, you know, I remember, you know, William Hill and Brandywine before it was running the sports book at the Riviera,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who owned the Riviera, I think, had an interest in the Milwaukee Bucks,
yeah,
right?
That's right?
And so we had to take the Bucks games off the board,
right?
Because the NBA wanted that, and I just thought it was kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it really right. going to accomplish?
You know, he's going to tell the players to throw the game or something.
Well, know? Just yeah. and you know, it's the customers, the one who, you know,
sure.
comes in there and they want to bet the Bucks game, and
yeah.
oh, sorry, you can't bet the Bucks game here. You got to go down the street.
Right. Yeah.
It just I didn't see what it really
yeah.
you
yeah.
know accomplished.
So you mentioned some of your clients. I mean, you have some really big clients with FanDuel and Rhode Island Lottery, and you know, I know you're involved with Resorts World here in Las Vegas. So, but you also have some of the smaller things like the Oneidas, and I don't think they're small; they're pretty big up there. But I understand this casino I was in Washington State, you know, is a small casino. How can you scale, you know, what you offer, you know, to these big clients, also to the smaller clients?
Well, yeah, it's a function of trying to keep the, you know, the infrastructure costs
right.
relatively low,
mm-hmm.
So that, you know, they can offer something direct
right.
Directly for their customers on a cost efficient basis, because, you know, I think folks realize that, you know, sports betting brings people into the property,
right?
And there's no doubt about it. And then
mm-hmm.
once you got them in the property,
yeah,
you know, and then you got a shot to get them to do something else too,
right. yeah,
right?
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, play the tables or eat in a restaurant
mm-hmm.
or slot machine, and so forth. So, you know, it's look, I've said this before. I think sports betting is the single greatest customer acquisition tool in the history of the U.S. casino industry,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? And when you think of it through that prism, I think it gives you a different perspective, right? You know, Caesars is probably one I pay, you know, a little extra attention
sure, right.
to, because, you know, very friendly
mm-hmm.
with Tom and the Carranos
yeah.
and so forth, and of course all my, you know, former colleagues. And, you know, these commercials that, you know, that they're doing, we've all seen, you know, the Mannings
right.
and
JB.
Halle Berry and J.B.
right.
Smoove. And you know, they're spending a ton of money doing that, right?
Right.
And the creative
sure.
is really neat.
Right.
But they're introducing hundreds of thousands and over time millions of people into the broader Caesars ecosystem, right? And so those
right.
people are going to go to Caesars casinos and eat in their restaurants
mm-hmm.
and stay in their hotels. And so it actually, in my opinion, it doesn't matter if Caesars ever makes money on sports betting, right? Because they're just, this is the greatest customer acquisition tool ever. And so, you know, I think, you know, the focus ought to be that, yes, you can actually make money on sports betting standing alone, but then you got to consider all the ancillary revenue that it can generate and general attention.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No question about that. So, what would you tell a tribe, to convince them that they use the IGT products rather than go to another supplier?
Well, I think clearly one of the things is you can trust us, and we're really hyper focused now. Since I've been here, I've been hyper focused around making sure we meet our obligations to our customers and help them understand what the product is. But it's a product that will suit their needs, right? That's really what it is. It's about what's going to suit your needs, I think we've proven, given the breadth of customers we have, that this product will suit their needs, will help them understand it, walk them through the broader business. I'll give you a specific example. We've been talking about the Oneida Tribe, right? I was there a couple weeks ago. Great people, wonderful visit. They're located in Green Bay,
right?
Okay, so
pretty
rabid fan base, and they're an official partner. I mean, there's actually the Oneida Gate at Lambeau Field,
right?
They took me down onto the field itself, which was really cool. But guess what? Throughout the season, on a Sunday, everybody's betting the Packers, and so. The obvious question is, if the Packers win and cover, we're going to lose money.
Right.
And so, but I've been around this long enough and, understand how it works. That's great. You want to – everybody knows what the point spread is.
Right.
And so you want to offer, the fair point spread. Mm-hmm. You don't want to jack up the line and upset customers. And when they win, great, give them the money back. They'll come back the next week.
Right.
And then, there'd be 1 week, the Packers win and they didn't cover, I think, against Cleveland. And okay, well, that's mm-hmm. good because they continued on, but, into the first seed. And then, of course, the day when, they got beat by San Francisco turned out to be a big day, betting-wise in the casino. But the key point was throughout was just, look, don't worry about it. We're not interested. We're not worried about one game. Right. We're interested. Because everybody's a Packers fan, we're always interested in the outcomes, but we're not worried about the outcome of one game or even one day. There are losing days. There are a lot of losing days in this business, right? And you might even have a losing month, but I don't think I've seen two consecutive losing months, and I'm sure I've never seen a losing year. And we're building this business for the long term, right? So look, don't. I tell everybody, look, don't sweat the games. I worry about it enough for all of us,
right?
So you don't have, worry about it. So anyway, that type of dialogue with our customers and helping them think about it in advance, I think is something that's really important. It's something that I've gotten used to doing over the years. And I got other stories like that. Said, what are we going to do? Everybody in my casino, they love the Saints. They love the Saints. They're always going to bet the Saints. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to root for the other team. So, I think the experience I hate to talk about my own experience because it makes me feel old, and the others on the team have a lot of experience around this business. Joe Bertoloni, started Brandywine with me, and now, Joe and I are back again. Tony DiTommaso used to run the sports book for the Calneva before he joined Brandywine, So these are people with, a lot of experience and knowledge in the business. And I think that should give customers a comfort level.
Sure, no question. Well, I want to ask you one more question, and it has to do with something that's close to your heart. I know horse racing. You started out as a track announcer, which I can't imagine. Calling all those names so quickly, and
I still do it.
Do you really? Okay.
Yeah, every year I go up to the Elko County Fair.
Okay.
with my son, and they're nice enough to let me call a race or two.
That's cool.
Over the weekend.
But obviously, you love horse racing, and I mean, you spoke at our Racino conferences a couple of times back in Delaware, and I think we had one in West Virginia you showed up at as well, and you're real knowledgeable about them. So a few years ago, you know, it seemed like horse racing was dying. They said we're going to have four major tracks, super tracks, and everybody else is going to die off. Well, that's obviously hasn't happened. We were in fact in Nebraska now, they're building new tracks to put a casino with. What's the state of horse racing these days?
Look, that's a complex question. I think there's a core horse racing following,
right,
that still exists. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people like me, love to go to Del Mar every right. summer and so forth. The drug problem in horse racing continues to be a problem,
right?
This, you know, the situation with Medina Spirit coming up yep. positive in the Kentucky Derby mm-hmm. is just, you know, horrible. So I'm interested to see how the new federal legislation around drug testing mm-hmm. is going to play out. I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to play out. There's a whole big, you know, cost aspect
right.
To it as well. It comes down to the integrity of the competition and
right.
people, you know, having confidence in, mm-hmm. in the integrity of the competition. That's so important. We didn't talk about it, but you know, this allegation that Stephen Ross was offering Brian Flores, you know, $100,000
right.
a game
yeah.
to tank.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to investigate that and
for
get
sure.
to the bottom of it. And if, you know, if there's evidence in fact that that's true, then you know, then he's got to go.
Yeah.
Because you know, the integrity of the game has to be paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Horse racing, I think it's kind of, you know, a niche business, other than, you know, maybe you can make five days a year, right, the Triple Crown days
right.
and then the 2 days of Breeders' Cup. But even one day, the Breeders' Cup is really niche.
Sure.
It's really, you know, people pay attention to the Derby, and
mm-hmm.
if there's a Triple Crown on the line,
right.
they'll watch the Belmont, maybe they'll watch the Breeders' Cup. And then you have, you know, the marquee meets of Del Mar
right.
and Saratoga. You know, I got back to Saratoga this year
yep.
for the first time in a long time, and it was kind of fun.
It's a great meet up there.
Yeah, it's a great meet.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, the industry has done a pretty good job of trying to, you know, rationalize,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cost base and understand where it fits,
right.
you know, in the broader entertainment options that are available to consumers.
Sure. So New Jersey just passed a regulation. Now they can offer fixed odd betting on horse races. Is that going to be a big difference maker?
You know, I think it's to be determined.
Yeah.
I think it's to be determined. I mean, you know, fixed odd, it adds a whole nother element
sure.
to it that you know, people find enjoyable. You know, in the UK, you know, because, you know, not only it's not only who you're going to bet, but when you're going to bet them.
Right.
And, you know, if you wait too long, the price changes
sure, right.
and so forth. Could be good, could be bad, I suppose. So it adds a whole new element to it. The U.S. culture is so deeply pari-mutuel. And, of course, fixed odds really is only really relevant for win. I mean,
right,
you know,
sure,
pick sixes, trifectas,
right,
and
yeah.
so forth are inherently,
mm-hmm.
you know, more of a pari-mutuel product. So I'm interested to see how it does. Something that Dennis Drazen and I are good friends, and he's the guy who kind of got it going in New Jersey.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how they do.
Yeah, great. Well, Joe, thanks for the time. It's great to sit down with you, and love getting your views on the horse tracks there, because one of my favorite things to do, a nice day when I can put my feet up and just sit at the track all day. But it's nice to get together with you, and congratulations on the new job. And let's stay in touch and talk again in the next year or so and find out where you're at.
Well, you know, I'll say one last thing. You know, I spend, you know, probably too much time on Twitter, but yesterday Frankie Dettori had a great tweet. Frankie Dettori, for your viewers who don't know him, is, you know, tremendous, you know, European jockey,
okay.
Great jockey. And he's on Twitter, and he said, you know, name the one race you wish you'd have seen, right? You'd
right.
love to have been to.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's a great question. It was fascinating seeing all the responses.
Sure.
A lot of people put the video
right.
Of the race into them.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
it was so, you know, go track down the Frankie Dettori tweet when he's asking you for the one race. I said Secretariat winning the Belmont, but there'd be, you know, a lot you could come up with.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
But well, anyway, great being with you. Thank you.
Thanks again to Konami Gaming. Head to KonamiGaming.com/connect to start speaking with Konami's top Synchros representatives about your 2022 technology goals. To learn more about sports betting as more jurisdictions come online, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up at GGBNews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.